Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, how are you today? Big thumbs up.
Yes, sir. Thumbs up. Ready
there
to go.
There we go. Ready to take off. Tom's engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to our program on this Friday, January the 15th, the middle of January already, 2016. We come to you live each weekday at noon on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And just as importantly, we stream the show, which means you don't need to be by the radio if you're around a computer, at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. A big shout out quickly to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com, along with the Southern Arizona News Examiner, all have links prominently displayed to our homepage so you can hear the program and hear our podcasts. Our Friday Focus interview today is with the State Senate President, Andy Biggs, a Republican senator from the Phoenix area. Joining me in studio to question Senator Biggs, Linda Valdez is here. Linda is a columnist and editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah pretty much shares the same work title as Linda.
I do.
So I will repeat it. Editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. The Buckmaster Show live line open for you, 790-2040. Our Facebook page, if you know my name, you can find me easily on Facebook under Bill Buckmaster. And we're trying to do the Twitter thing. Kind of got that all cranked up, and it's been a little slow, but a Twitter here, a Twitter there is better than no Twitters. Let's go now.
They call them tweets.
Tweets. See, there you go. And I know you do a little of it.
I do a little, not as much as I should, but I do a little tweeting.
Okay, so we both do a little tweeting. That's Linda Valdez, and Sarah, good to see you as well.
Nice to see you.
Let's welcome now Senate President Biggs. Senator Biggs, how are you?
Great. How are you guys doing? Good to talk to you.
Good. Do you do the Twitter thing or what?
I watch others do it.
Hey, let me ask you, have you seen the governor's budget? Was it supposed to be released this morning?
I think it gets released officially about 1 or 1:30. We had a briefing on the budget from the governor's staff last evening.
Can you give us a couple of quick highlights?
I think that I'll give you a couple of specifics that I think that people are interested in. It would be JTED funding, his proposal, and let me be clear, I haven't seen the whole thing, and I understand it's about 1,500 pages long, so
okay.
I just saw a presentation on it, but with the JTED funding, the way I understand it would be a grant program in conjunction with essentially demands from private industry and business to have certain program training opportunities for students, but it will be it's described as a one-time funding mechanism, but with an advance appropriation of $30 million at $10 million per year total outlay. But I think there's a lot more detail to it, and it goes a lot hand in hand with what he said in his State of the State speech as well. So
that's kind of an issue certainly we will be following here in Southern Arizona. I'm going to give it over to Linda Valdez for the for her first question. Go ahead, Linda.
Hello, Senator Biggs. How are you doing?
Great. How are you, Linda?
I'm well. Thank you.
Good.
You sent out a press release this week saying that the state has only about $25 million extra to look at in spending this year, which is quite a bit lower than some of the estimates we had been hearing, which were in the neighborhood of $200 to $218 million in ongoing revenue that was expected. Explain why your number is so much lower.
I think Joint Legislative Budget Committee is going to come out with either today or early next week with numbers that support that. The FAC, Finance Advisory Committee, will also come out with numbers. So here's how it gets computed. We are projected to be at the end of fiscal year 2016, which will be June 30th of this year. We will have a structural balance of $25 million. That's that's where we anticipate being. If you want to persist in your structural deficit and try to bring it current in, say, 2019, at the end of fiscal year 2018 instead of at the end of fiscal year 2016, you can spend up to safely probably $150 to $175 million. That's the difference. That's why people were talking to in the $200 million range, is because they were comfortable with a structural deficit going forward, because our budget last year was based on getting to a structural balance at the end of 2018. Is that too complicated? The bottom line is you can either be structurally balanced today, or you can wait for 2.5 years to be structurally balanced and spend up to $200 million.
And is your commitment to be structurally balanced today, meaning we have an extra $25 million to spend?
In ongoing money, that's where I would like to be, because we have a constitutional obligation to be structurally balanced, number one. Number two, I think we should eliminate some of the last of the big gimmicks that we have, which are fund sweeps of $200 million. I think we should eliminate those. And number three, we have over $2 billion worth of debt that we need to retire.
That's why
I would prefer to get to balance sooner.
All right, let's bring Sarah Garrett Gasson in from the Arizona Daily Star.
This is sort of it's a Tucson question spurred by talk down here in southern Arizona about pay, benefits, things like that, that the city is considering putting some guidelines and rules about. And it's the very idea is getting pushback from Governor Ducey and yourself. You've been quoted basically saying that it's different from the federal being separate from the state government-wise versus cities and towns, because they're legal subdivisions of the state, and that the local control comparison isn't correct. But what can you, I mean, as the Republican Party is so strident, I mean, supportive of local control, can you talk a bit about what the difference is in this particular issue? Why should the state have the right to tell cities and towns what they should do?
Well, Sarah, I agree with you. You're correct. I have said for many years and continue to say it that the United States federalist system is different than the state subdivision system, and so I think that's we could talk more about that if you'd like, but I think there's a really strong demarcation and definitions in those things, and those are constitutionally established differences. So I'll leave it at that. But what that means is that every subdivision of the state, which is essentially every board, every city, every town, every county, those are subdivisions of the state. They're authorized by the state, and we ask them to perform certain duties. We share certain revenue with them in order to do that. Unfortunately, to be honest with you, I acknowledge that sometimes we give mandates that are not funded. Other times we overfund certain mandates. So in theory, you hope it evens out and probably needs to be more careful. But in this particular, and so that's, I'm just trying to get to the first part of your question, which is the distinction. The second part of your question is why should the state be interested? I think this is an issue of statewide interest, because you have 91 cities and towns. You have businesses that are in each city and town. You have businesses that do business across jurisdictions, and this provides added confusion and difficulty for particularly the smaller businesses. Now, the way I would solve this would be to, quite frankly, acknowledge that cities and towns might have authority to set a minimum wage if that's what they chose to do. But if they chose to do that, they would probably need to suffer some kind of penalty due to the difficulties that it's causing the state. With state shared revenue, it'd be something. You know, I don't have anything in concrete on how to do that, but we're looking at those types of remedies, because this is problematic for commerce in our state.
This isn't the first time, just kind of taking a larger view, this isn't the first time that Tucson and the Tucson area, whether it's Tucson Unified School District with DSEG funding or Tucson City Council with their decisions by elected officials on gun matters, that the legislature has taken a hands-on approach, kind of philosophy to what we in Southern Arizona and in Tucson are doing. What's the cause of that? Is that just because you're not agreeing with the decisions that local officials who are locally elected are making?
Well, I will tell you that I don't think that Tucson is particularly being singled out. I think that what happens is the legislature passes laws and intends for those laws to be obeyed. And the governor signs those into laws with the responsibility of enforcing those laws. And it's very similar to if you violate traffic laws, you're going to get a civil traffic ticket. If you violate other laws, you might be subject to punishment as well. A lot of times, though, we pass laws and there's no bite or no teeth. And with everything from municipalities to counties to perhaps other boards, they don't follow those laws. And when that happens, the legislative intent and the purpose of the law is actually defeated. So I'm not saying I don't believe that Tucson particularly is being singled out, especially on, for instance, on the issue that you've brought up here now, which is the minimum wage issue. I think there are two or three. Actually, I think there's probably four or five cities or towns that are looking at raising the minimum wage and encoding that in their ordinance book. And if that's the case, then I think that legislators consider that a statewide issue and need to weigh in.
All right. Senator Bigg, stick around for us. We're going to take our first break of the hour here on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah Garrett-Gaston of the Star and Linda Valdez from the Republic also will stick around. And I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll be right back with Senator Biggs.
Anybody here see my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. You know, I just looked around and he's
honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Each Friday we do a little what we call a 60s bumper music. Bumper music, our kind of intermission music. Today it's Dion going back to the 60s. Anyway, we're rocking and rolling here. Linda Valdez is here from the Arizona Republic and Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star. And on our live line, we have Andy Biggs, the state Senate president. Senator Biggs, the state lottery chief, has quit amid questions about state vehicle use. We had the situation with David Gowan, the House Speaker, and there's been some questions about perhaps inappropriate use of state vehicle from Mr. Gowan. Would you like to see a complete look at all state departments concerning vehicle use?
Yeah, I think it would be good to go through and see, try to figure out why we have so many cars in our motor pool and why we have so many state vehicles. You know what, about 10 years ago, we actually did something like that, but we never really got it complete, to be honest with you. At least my recollection is we didn't get it completed. But yeah, I think it would be really a good idea to go through, count our cars, find out why we have so many cars. How much is it costing us to maintain those cars? And if they're not necessary, then maybe we should stop buying them.
I have a question. This is Sarah from The Star. Do you travel around the state in using a state vehicle or a chauffeur?
I do not.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. But is it safe to say that you are concerned about this and that you will be calling for a look at all of state vehicles?
I'm not going to trumpet it.
Okay.
But we want to look at efficiency in all agencies, including the use of state vehicles. I think I don't want to pivot necessarily, but I think it is probably right in the same areas. Is we should be also looking at our technology infrastructure in the state. I mean, they're kind of akin. I mean, we buy all these cars, we use them, but then we don't really keep good track of them necessarily. But similarly, we spend incredible amounts of money on information technology systems where we have mixed up platforms. We buy stuff that is basically antiquated, outdated, and needs to be updated immediately. And we need to do a better job at bringing Arizona's technology system up to date and bringing that into control. So that gets to the overarching issue, which is efficiency of our government, which is sometimes not so good.
All right. Before I give it over to Linda Valdez again, Matthew has been waiting for about 10 minutes on the live line with a question or comment. Matthew at 790-2040. Go ahead. You're with Senator Andy Biggs, Matthew.
Yes, Senator Biggs. As you know, you referred to the state redistributing, how, you know, the counties, the things that they're responsible for. We have about $23, $25, $26 million in additional responsibilities that the state traditionally took care of. Also, you imposed a new distribution of sorts that's costing the state costing the Pima County for education, which is not its responsibility traditionally, of an additional $18 million because they are limited because of how you guys convoluted what you normally would have paid for the difference in what the schools receive. Now, you must understand, Pima County, unlike Maricopa, completely gets its money from property taxes. Maricopa split half its budget and gets half of it from sales taxes. We don't do that. So our county jail and the county attorney's office, they're going to take a hit this time.
Okay.
But more important, let one last thing go. More importantly, if we lose Raytheon, they pay property taxes, just like the rest of us who are property owners. And I'm telling you right now, you are threatening the viability of Raytheon being in Pima County because their tax bill, as well as every property owner in Pima County, cannot take this continued assault on Pima County. And you are going to be responsible for Raytheon abandoning Southern Arizona. Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye. Okay, Senator Biggs, your response.
Well, I'm not sure there was a question there. It was more of a rant, and that's okay. But he did cover several issues, so I'll respond to those okay. issues as if he had asked a question. With regard to redistribution, when some folks have sent me emails and letters that parrot that the rant we just heard, so what I asked the budget staff to do to find out how much money goes to Pima County, how much money comes back to Pima County. Pima County is a net positive recipient of state funding, even after the measures that he's complaining of. So Pima County still gets significantly more money than it pays to fund state programs down there. Number two, the 1% cap, that's the issue he's talking about. The problem that he has is that law has actually been in place for many, many years, and it has never been enforced. And what happened over the years is that the taxpayers from around the state were subsidizing Pima County taxpayers. That's what was happening, and it came upon Pima County and several other districts who were doing similar, where they violated the property tax cap, and so that's what happened. The state taxpayers were filling that in, so they didn't lose any of that money. A judgment was made, not just by me, but by the legislative body and the executive branch, that would be inappropriate to continue that practice when there's a law in place.
All right. Here's Linda Valdez of the Republic.
Senator, I'd like to ask you about the Department of Child Safety. We've got nearly 15,000 backlogged cases, 18,000 children in foster care. They're asking for $100 million. There's also a move by Senator Debbie Lesko to go out to bid for a contract to look into the backlogged cases. My first question is, do you have confidence in Director Greg McKay to do the job? And then I'd also like you to talk a little bit about the $100 million request and about Senator Lesko's proposal.
You know, Linda, I believe that Greg McKay can get this thing turned around. There are some trends the last couple of months that indicate that perhaps that can be turned around. But having said that, my personal opinion is that, and I agree with Senator Lesko and and so many others. I have talked to service providers around the state trying to get feedback. They all tell me it isn't about funding anymore. It is a well-funded agency. It has $850 million. It's been funded, the increases by 300%, and yet the backlog, as you've said correctly, has actually increased year over year. I think and 2 years ago we asked for an RFI for private outsourcing of the backlog. Nothing happened. It's time now for us to actually outsource that backlog to some of these agencies who say they can help do it, and we can clear that up and then allow the caseworkers that are there to get down at a more manageable caseload level. I'm as frustrated as you are in your, that I can tell from your question. I think we all are down here. If you're watching this from anywhere in the state, you get frustrated. You want this resolved sooner rather than later, and we feel sometimes, and I'll just tell you, this is a difficult problem, a difficult issue to solve. It's multiple issues, but we want it solved as much as possible, as soon as possible. And so I would say I'm very supportive of Senator Lesko's initiative on that, and I think you're going to see other policy bills that come through the legislature this year trying to either facilitate DCS to clear up the backlog and help caseworkers and provide the types of services that are necessary for these kids and the foster parents.
But that's going to cost money to clear up that backlog, right? It's going to be, and you told us you've got $25 million. The governor is talking about $10 million for JTED. Where is this money going to come from?
We put in last year, you may recall, about $28 million for the backlog. That money is still in the ongoing structure of DCS. We think it can be done for probably less than that, but that money is available within DCS to move around and use that for the backlog.
Sarah, did you want to jump in here real quickly? We're a bit over time, but we're going to keep you, if you don't mind, for a few more minutes, Senator.
No, yeah. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make the point that the child safety funding has increased, but it was also just gutted years ago. I mean, we're not coming back from we're coming back from a deficit, a big hole in child safety funding. But also another reason for the backlog is that, and the need for the increased funding, is that the number of cases of reports to of children who people think might are in danger of being neglected or abused has just skyrocketed. And so I just wanted to make sure that we kept that in mind. It's not just the backlog. It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah, let me clarify that point, though, Sarah. The funding has increased by 300%. Now, you may feel like the baseline was low when it increased, but it increased. It's never been even within $200 million of what we have in there today. But at the same time, the number of calls to the hotline is up less than 20%. So 3 years ago, it was about 43,000, and this year it's going to be about 54,000, 53,000. You can see that even with an increased number of calls to the hotline, it is still not out of the realm to be say, look, we've increased that by 300%. And I think that if you just look from a purely objective way, which is how you framed your question, you'll see that there are resources there. When I talk to providers, they're not saying that there's a massive need for a huge influx of resources. They're saying those resources and their allocation need to be looked at, because there are a lot of resources in this system.
We have a couple of callers, and I have very little time, so I'm going to ask the callers in about 10 seconds to give me your question for Senator Biggs. Ingrid, you are up first. Ingrid, very quickly.
Very quickly. Three calls ago, Matthew presented a very well-articulated, civilly articulated information package to us, and you called it twice a rant.
Okay.
I think he is owed an apology.
Okay. She didn't like you calling that a rant. For what it's worth, that's what you called it, right, Senator?
Yes, I stick to my guns.
Okay. Let's see if we can work Greg in. He has, he'd like to talk about the state's money problems. Go ahead, Greg.
You bet, Bill. Thanks for taking it. And, Senator, I think you handled it well. I think you were very discreet about calling it a rant. Because, well, in fact, it was a rant. Okay. Listen, what I'm seeing is a woman. I sat with her at one of those meetings with DCS, and there's four or five people there, and she's fighting to get to see her child. And here's the reason. Her husband was in the yard, and some guy comes by and shoots him. She had no idea he's alive, but they took the children away, saying that she endangered them. And this is just a tip of the iceberg, Senator. What's happening is they're just grabbing kids out of homes when the mother or the father is really not at fault. I don't know how we screen that and just take children from homes where they are at risk, where they are in danger.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Greg, for your comment. Go ahead, Senator.
Yeah, that's a fair comment, because I think this is more to the point than the number of calls. It's the number of removals that we're seeing. And what part of it is, I think we redefined neglect about 2-3 years ago, and it leaves it so open and broad that we have spent the last, I hate to put it this way, the last 6 or 7 months worth of working group of people involved trying to come up with a definition of neglect that works, because we all can say if there's sexual abuse or physical abuse, that's usually readily apparent, and you can find that. But this broad term of neglect allows for such a range that we feel it. I feel it should be narrowed. I think there are others who feel that as well, and that's what we're working on. Because I think Greg's case that he mentioned, of course, I don't know the facts other than what has been presented. That is not atypical for some of these removals. And so we have to quit removing kids, because it's hard on the kids, it's hard on the families, it's hard on the system itself, and it really needs to be cleaned up. And we're working on that.
All right. Senator Biggs, thank you very much for an extended interview with us today. And we didn't get a chance to get into education, but at this point, I'll make this a very quick question for you. For the initiative that is coming up in May, do you see this passing easily, going to be a challenge? What's your take on that?
Well, I still believe it's a rocket ship. I think it will pass handily. I think it'll be a significant percentage of voters are going to accept this and support this. So I think it'll be a big win.
Senator, thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Linda and Sarah.
Thank you.
Right. Tom, too. Thanks, Tom.
Tom, yeah, Tom did a great job there engineering our program. Tom, I know we are a bit over, but what we will do is we will kind of, as they say in the business, telescope the next segment a little bit shorter.
Not to worry. I will always just follow your lead.
All right. How about some Dion right now? Go ahead, Tom. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring commentators John Munger and Paul Eckerstrom. Also, a King Day tribute on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with live streaming, podcasts, and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Now that I love a girl and a ruby is her name. Hear me talking now.
Yeah, there you go. Dion with our 60s intermission music. That's a really cool video that you just put up there, Tom, of a Dion riding in a, looks like a old 707, yeah. Yeah, 707. And he's singing in this empty 707 about Ruby. I'm not really sure what the connection is between Ruby and flying in a 707, but who knows. Anyway, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Linda Valdez is here. Always good to see Linda. She's from the Arizona Republic, and it's always good to see Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star. The two of them share job titles. They don't work for the same publications, but on their business cards, it probably says something similar, that they are both editorial writers and columnists for their particular papers. And Sarah's column appears usually every Thursday. Mm-hmm. And Linda, you don't really have a regular schedule.
I do. I appear in print every other Sunday.
Oh, every other Sunday. Does that mean this Sunday we'll look
for
you?
It meant last Sunday. Oh, it meant last
Sunday. All right. As you know, we extended the interview with Senate President Biggs, and we really, as they say, Sarah, did we just touch the tip of the iceberg? We didn't get into the big gorilla in the room about education. Linda, going back to this, what is maybe $25 million to work with? Where in the world are they going? That's going to be used up pretty quick if JTED gets 10 of it. Right
well,
there.
Indeed. It seems quite unrealistic if they're really going to stick to that, and if they're going to stick to the governor's promise to lower taxes again this year. There's so much pent-up need, and there were so many expectations that there would be at least $2 million to work with this year. There are the
200 million.
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you,
it
Sarah.
May be, yeah. It may wind
it
up.
It may wind up. You got a couple bucks. 2 million.
Yeah,
right.
Or 200,000. It's not much.
I don't know what they're going to do. I think there's going to be and I thought it was interesting what the senator said about how easily this proposition 123 was going to pass.
Yeah, he's very confident about it.
But I think if the legislature doesn't do something on their part for education, there's going to be a lot of public resentment. And it may not be such a rocket ship.
And I know it's well, they've got a lot of money coming in. You're going to see a lot of ads for the people that are going to urge the voters to say yes to this. But there is opposition. We had State Senator Farley on the program last week, who's been a huge a supporter of public education in this state, Sarah and Linda. And I asked him, are you supporting this? And he said, I'm not sure yet.
Right. Yeah. People are just starting to get into the really fine details of what the proposal is and what it would do. And on one hand, the supporters would say, well, there's no new taxes. This is money that we, you know, it's not coming out of an additional revenue source. But the flip side of that is it's taking money that's supposed to be for education in the future, using it now, and then there's going to be this cliff in a number of years. So there's, I think, a lot of education both ways that's going to have to happen. And the supporters shouldn't rely in Arizona on just saying it's for the kids, it's education, it's great, because that is not enough of an argument for voters to go ahead and support something.
Well, and I think it's also, I mean, it's a classic dilemma for people, because you want the schools to get that money, which it would be a huge infusion of money. And I think that's one of the reasons that the schools settled for this. They settled a lawsuit because going forward, their chances of getting something through the courts are slim. Doesn't matter if the court orders them to pay money. The legislature has demonstrated in the past that it can ignore the courts. So if they don't get this, I'm not sure they'll get anything. I mean, the governor basically intimated that. He said that in his State of the State address. So it's a difficult situation. It's very difficult. And I think that the legislature really should show some good faith to putting money into the schools that they have denied them. This money for the initiative is only the money for inflation that they were denied.
That's a really good point.
There were a couple of news stories in advance of the State of the State that the one of the centerpieces of the State of the State address would be a deep dive into the state's mandatory sentencing laws. Did I miss something here, Linda and Sarah? But I didn't hear a lot about that in the speech.
No.
I think it hit the cutting room floor, perhaps, right on his way to the podium.
Yeah,
what happened? Do you have any idea?
Well, I know he spoke about, Governor Ducey spoke about that in an interview in advance of the speech. I don't know why that wasn't included, if it was something.
And you guys carried it in the
right,
Star.
Right. I think that was a Howard Fisher Capital News Service piece. So, yeah, I don't know why that didn't end up in the State of the State. I hope he brings it back. I hope it's a priority this time. But we also have to remember that private prisons is a really big business in Arizona, and the governor has a lot of support from those corporations. So maybe that the political reality had something to do with it.
Well, the other thing that I thought was really odd and missing in the speech, he talked a lot about the problems with incarcerated people who were addicted, and about the connections with child abuse and child welfare with addictions. And I was waiting for him to talk about putting money into treatment programs and prevention programs. But instead, he pivots to talk about his border task force and he says tens of millions of dollars are going to go into that. So that uses up the $25 million is already gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, this sort of, Linda makes a good point, and that kind of goes back to what Senator Biggs was talking about with child Protective Services, Department of Child Safety. It's changed its name, and I keep tripping over it, so I apologize for that. But I think one of the things we also need to remember is that the child abuse and neglect are Definitely connected, as the governor has said, with addiction issues, economic issues, all those sorts of things. But we also need to remember that over the past several years, programs that the state had to strengthen families, to help with addiction, to parenting skills, all that sort of like support network, which does help keep kids in homes and safe, has been dismantled because of the budget cuts. And so that's something that infrastructure is going to have to be rebuilt. And I hope that the governor will help lead on that.
Well, and I think also that was another disappointing thing that Senator Biggs said when he talked about, well, let's just change the definition of neglect and then we will be removing fewer children. When, as Sarah points out, the real issue is let's try to support families, give them services so that children don't have to be removed. I mean, they've been saying that, even Republicans have been saying that for years, but now they seem to be pivoting away from that. That does take money. And it's a bit disingenuous to talk about how much money has gone into the Department of Child Welfare or Child Services. See, right. I'm doing it too, Sarah. It's because it was so underfunded for so long. Mm-hmm. And then to talk, yes, they did give them a great deal of money, but they still need a great deal of money.
I know the governor took a bunch of shots at California, hoping that California businesses would be coming over to Arizona. And some have criticized the governor, saying that we're just kind of waiting for the crumbs from California. And job growth is very robust right now in California.
Well, California, I mean, it's a bit, someone characterized it as sophomoric for the governor to be taking shots at California. I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, they are a successful state. You know, what else can you say? I mean, people sell their houses there and buy three of them over here. You know?
True.
Anyway, we're going to have to wrap it up. Congratulations to the Star's new publisher.
Oh, on, yeah. Yes, Mark Henschen.
Keeping it within the Star family.
Yes, very excited. The staff is very excited. Mm-hmm. There was a standing ovation, which I had never seen before, from the staff when his appointment was announced. So I know he's very excited about that. You should have him on the show.
I'd love to have him on the show. When you get back to the office, please extend an invitation to him.
I sure will.
Talk about the newspaper business. Linda Valdez and Sarah Garrett-Gasson, hope you both have a great weekend. Should be a nice weekend. Finally warming up a bit.
Thanks, Bill.
And in July, I would not be complaining that it's been too cool.
No.
Too cool for me. But anyway, have a great weekend. All right, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. It's next on The Buckmaster Show.
Tonight, while I'm holding you so near. Tonight, what I'd give if I could hear those three little words. That would thrill the heart of me. Just whisper, I
Local
love
Tucson
you.
Business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's Friday. That means weekend getaway time. 3 hours over to Silver City in that gorgeous part of the Southwest United States. And a lot to do in Silver City. Just exploring the historic town, doing some hiking up in the National Monument, the Gila Cliff Dwellings Monument. So there's a lot to do, and just kind of hang out and enjoy a different environment. Great places to stay over there, like Pinos Altos Cabins and Bear Mountain Lodge, just to name a few. The full listing of the many places to stay and things to do on their great website, southwestnewmexico.org, spelled all out. Let's welcome now Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist. How are you, Mr. Russell?
I'm doing great, Bill. TGIF, my friend.
Hey, I didn't win the Powerball.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And apparently nobody in Southern Arizona won the Powerball this
year. No.
So, Bill, I think a fitting place for happy hour today is the Tough Luck Club. That's the place. That's what it's called. I say we should join our fellow losers in search of a little weekend cheer today at this creative cocktail lounge. It's in the basement of Riley Pizza at 101 East Bennington downtown. Now, the Tough Luck Club has a host of cocktails for the occasion, including one called, and I'm not making this up, Poverty's King, with tequila, pear, pistachio, rosemary, and bitters. It all gets underway today at 5 o'clock at the Tough Luck Club. Better luck next time, Bill.
Yeah, the Tough Luck Club will be very popular tonight. How about the anniversary party going 3 years already?
Yeah, lots going on up at the Whole Foods.
I can't believe it.
On the corner of River and Craycroft. Yeah. I know. I remember talking about it on your show when they first opened. So their third anniversary celebration. Now, you'll know that they've got a great full restaurant and a brew pub right at the back of the store, a great place to take a break from grocery shopping with a bite and a beer. But tomorrow, from noon to 2, they're going to be giving away complimentary samples of all kinds of goodies, including some succulent barbecue that they smoke right there in-house. And they're even going to have a live band perform tomorrow for the party. So get over to Whole Foods on River to participate in this delicious celebration. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah, you just might run into me. A lot of listeners I do run into over at Whole Foods. Enjoy it very much. How about a Sunday brunch suggestion, Mr. Russell?
Yeah, Bill, you know, when it comes to brunch, there must be bacon. So your Sunday brunch plans this weekend should include the Oink Cafe on the corner of Broadway and Kolb. Now, this eatery pledges allegiance to pork every single day with 8 different varieties of bacon, along with bacon mac and cheese, bacon Benedict, maple bacon donuts, bacon Bloody Marys. A savory and salty sundae is on tap for you this weekend at the Oink Cafe. They open at 7 a.m. every day. Now, let's hear your best oink, Bill. Come on.
Oink, oink, oink. Matt, thank you so much.
Cheers. Happy weekend.
All right. The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our wonderful team here at KVOI, all of us, station manager Doug and Mary Martin, the operations manager, he is also my producer engineer Monday through Thursday, that's Ray Allen, my producer engineer on Friday, my friend Tom Fairbanks, our production ace, Mr. Jerry Cross, and of course, Ed Alexander does such a great job producing the morning shows. And I cannot overlook, and I would never do so, Rosemary Brandt, my fine assistant, on behalf of all of us, have a safe and wonderful weekend. Back with you Monday at 12:04.